managers.
It is absolutely fantastic to be home. This feels like home. I was kind of overwhelmed a little bit just singing with you all, all the kind introductions, the familiar faces that I saw this morning. This community is still home for me. I've been living in Winnipeg for the past 33 years, but all of the formative years of my life, the really, really important stuff all happened here. And there's no other place to really, I truly call home. So thank you for your warm welcome. Thank you for welcoming me back home. My name is Dallas. I grew up in this community. I have been in Winnipeg for the past 33 years. My wife and I attend a house church network downtown Winnipeg. We helped start it. Is it 20 years, Jen? We just celebrated our 20-year anniversary. 22 years ago. We're three house churches. We're about to do what's called a house church shuffle. We're about to shuffle into four house churches, which is a bit of a lengthy process, and we've shuffled before, and it's usually been a very peaceful and awesome process, and that's kind of where we call home. My two daughters over there, Juniper and Emily, you guys have anything you want to say this morning? Definitely not. Definitely not. Okay, just checking. So we're part of this host church network in downtown Winnipeg. My wife is one of the resource pastors there. She helps kind of resource the church and takes care of a lot of pastoral duties. And I, for the past now 17 years, have been a missionary staff member at a mission in downtown Winnipeg called the Family Support Center. We used to be called the Crisis Pregnancy Center, which some of you may know us as, but we've changed names. We're now the Family Support Center. For the first 10 years, actually the first 12 years that I was there, I was the Healthy Sexuality Coordinator. So I would talk at youth events. I was at Abundant Springs a lot. I would talk at schools, youth groups about healthy sexuality, what that looks like to make positive, good choices based on God's truth. But for the past 5 years, I've actually been a male mentor there. So principally, as a crisis pregnancy center, we principally have women coming in who are in crisis because of a pregnancy. But we sometimes have guys accompanying them, not very often, but we do. And sometimes these guys want to talk. So we've had more and more guys actually coming in ever since COVID, for whatever reason. And I have been meeting with these guys one-on-one and just talking through some of the issues they have in their life. So I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about our ministry at the Family Support Center, what we do, what we see, what that's all about. I'd like to do that for about 15 minutes. And then I would like to just take any questions that you guys have. You can ask questions about living in downtown Winnipeg, about house church, what that looks like, or if you have any questions about the ministry and what we do after I'm done talking, I would love to answer those. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to ask Dwight to play a little video about our ministry. 139, 13 to 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you, and I was made in that secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. On rare occasion, there are devastating moments within our culture, our communities, when they're hit by a cultural tsunami whose effects are so big, so life-changing that you cannot help but recognize its significance. December 28th memorializes one of these days. It marks, on many Christian calendars worldwide, Holy Innocence Day. It commemorates the day that King Herod decreed that all male children under 2 should be killed. Imagine the fear that would have ripped through Galilee and the surrounding townships. Every newborn boy was about to be killed by the government. Your son, your grandson, was about to be murdered. Having heard this news, it would have been unthinkable for you not to share it with everybody that you loved. And it would have been unthinkable if you didn't try to do something to save their lives. I imagine that the early Roman Christians felt this also when word spread that Roman citizens were abandoning their newborn babies outside the city walls. Walls that were built to protect, but now used to hide the destruction of those innocents. Somebody had to do something to save their lives. And if Christians didn't do it, then nobody would. This is how the very first orphanages came to be in our world. And now, after 2 millennia, a new seismic event has occurred. A destruction that has all the markings of Moloch, the Old Testament Canaanite god, to which children were ceremonially sacrificed to. The seismic event was the complete redefinition of life itself. The evil one had convinced the modern powers that be that the unborn baby was not human. Babies that have been created in the image of God have been arbitrarily defined completely out of existence. And now, our own children, our own grandchildren, are the new innocents. For the past few years, this dehumanization has been a preeminent obsession in North America. This madness is happening in our communities, and it not only destroys our much-loved and helpless babies, but by association, it destroys the souls of the complicit, of those passively and actively involved in abortion. It's an echo from Auschwitz itself. And like the urgency they felt in Galilee, we at the Family Support Center are calling for believers to be aware of what is happening, to respond in love and in strength and compassion, in word and deed, and in deep concern as well as prayer. The Family Support Center of Winnipeg, or FSC for short, began nearly 40 years ago with one of the most vulnerable in our society. And now, nearly 4 decades later, North America has completely exploded in abortion evil. Way back then, we were officially told that abortion was meant to be safe and rare, and that during abortion there really wasn't anything in the room that anybody should worry about. At that time, Winnipeg Free Press quoted an abortion nurse at Henry Morgan College's new clinic Avenue in Winnipeg. She said that the woman's pregnant uterus at 9 weeks along had nothing more in it than just a blob of cells. Then, in partnership with the internet, the fascinating field of fetal ultrasound erupted on the public. The guesswork was over, and now everybody could finally see the truth. See the truth of the beauty of the child in the womb sucking its thumb, and you can watch its beating heart. After 3,000 years, we can finally see what King David meant in Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Science had opened up the mystery of the womb, and you would expect, of course, the world would be thrilled. That we'd be mesmerized, kind of like watching David Attenborough's Planet Earth. We would look with awe and amazement, astonished at the pure and marvelous beauty of the developing child, seeing the miracle of life, seeing our very own pre-born children right in front of our eyes, a window to the womb, if you will. But that never happened. Or rather, that never happened to some very influential people. And in Canada, abortions went from less than 1,000 a year to well over 100,000 every year. In North America, the numbers skyrocketed. And globally, it was like a tidal wave with some 73 plus million abortions a year, each and every year. It's kind of an ironic madness. The more science tells us about the womb, and the more we understand about the true humanness of that preborn child, the higher the abortion numbers go. We're talking seriously about premeditated death, and nobody blinks anymore. Even the ardent pro-abortionists aren't pretending. Everyone knows that the baby, the previously supposed product of conception in the womb, is really a baby, and that it is a human being. Some years ago, our center in Winnipeg was inundated with people shocked at news from the United States. They were angry that some states had changed their laws to allow women to have an abortion right through to the very end of pregnancy, at any time during the 9 months. And not one of these people we talked to realized that having an abortion at any stage of pregnancy, right up to when the baby is actually in the birth canal, is something Canada has allowed and promoted since 1988, 37 years ago. A couple of years ago, the government announced that they were increasing their financial support to promote access to abortion. They increased their funding from $3 million in 2022 to $36 million in 2023, a 1,200% increase. Abortion talk, it's everywhere. It's all over the news, it's online, in the movies, TV shows, and it's in our own official government attestations. We're told that we better agree with abortion or else the government would punish or sanction us. Abortion is either purposefully ignored or it is fervently endorsed. And no wonder, this whole thing around abortion, it's all about creation. It's about being made in the image of God, Genesis 1:27, Mother Day. Abortion isn't just a moral and serious issue, it's a spiritual conflict. Abortion is about powers and principalities, great heavenly battles with terrible earthly casualties. There are obvious and empirical truths in ultrasounds, in physiology, in biology, and in utero heartbeats. And there is something significant, spiritual if you will, about our culture's blatant denials of these truths. The Family Support Center of Winnipeg is a gatekeeper on behalf of the Holy Innocents. We have chosen to intercede for these mothers and their children, and we've placed ourselves directly in the middle of these battles, providing that edge of protection for these vulnerable children with prayers and tangible love. And with God's help, keeping the evil one at a safe distance. Our center is filled with compassionate servants who, because of their sacrificial efforts and love, have saved babies and restored the lives of post-abortive mothers. For almost 40 years, we have served and loved many tens of thousands of women, men, and their children. Just this past year, we had almost 6,000 client appointments, and we keep an open caseload of about 400 active clients. There is no doubt in my mind at all that some of the people that you may see in your daily lives are literally alive only because of God's grace and the center's intervention. What a kind of cool but crazy thought that is. Sadly though, in the past decade or two, the Christian community has bumped into a severe ideological and theological problem. Just last year, Barna and the Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview released a survey on adult churchgoers on social issues and worldview. This is what they found. That one out of every six regular churchgoers in the United States has had, or has paid for, or has encouraged a friend to have an abortion. And one-fifth of those surveyed in the churches do not believe that the Bible identifies when life begins. While fewer and fewer Christians are actively discipled in our faith, our world has morphed into a TikTok culture where a significant percentage of the Gen Alpha children to millennial adults develop their important core ideals and beliefs from 90-second reels and sound bites. Interestingly, In the desperation of World War II, shortly before he was hanged by Hitler's Nazis, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was thinking about the consequential value of the preborn child. He wrote that abortion was a violation to the right to live which God has bestowed upon that innocent life. He continued by writing that many different motives may lead a person to have an abortion, such as extreme emotional despair, or economic poverty and misery. And then he wrote this jarring thought. He said that the circumstantial guilt of that type of abortion, where the woman is in despair or facing poverty, may often rest more with the community than the individual. In effect, he was saying that the person who had the abortion had been abandoned by those who could have or should have supported her, and therefore the community shared in that guilt of the abortion. 35 years after Bonhoeffer's death, Francis Schaeffer and C. Everett Koop got it right when they wrote in their book titled Whatever Happened to the Human Race. They wrote, churches and other groups opposed to abortion must be prepared to extend practical help to both the unmarried woman who is pregnant and the married woman who may be faced with the question of abortion. Merely to say to either one, you must not have abortion, without being ready to involve ourselves in the problem, is another way of being inhumane. I'm not trying to install a sense of guilt in anyone here. I only mention these quotes to try to inspire a first century incentive to look beyond the city walls, to see who is in jeopardy and be ready to love well, reminding us that love truly is contagious, and the more we do it, the more others around us usually want to join in. I need to end off by saying these few things. If you are here today and you've had an abortion, I want you to know that without hesitation, we at the Family Support Center, we love you. Because of our long and deep experience with abortion, we understand that you have been abandoned. We have seen your suffering. We have watched your torment. You've been abandoned during one of the hardest decisions you will have ever faced. In its laws, the government has abandoned you. So has the educational community and the law societies. The medical system has pushed hard to convince you to abort, and so has Hollywood, social media, and the news. Music, magazines, and almost every other societal pressure insist that you abort. Do the right thing. Even the church, although usually filled with love and acceptance, has sometimes remained very quiet. So to you, my beautiful sister, I want to say again, we love you. We love your unborn child. Your unborn child who waits for you in heaven with open arms of forgiveness. Finally, I want to give voice to a few of the clients we have seen these past almost 40 years. These following quotes are real client emails that we have received at our center here in Winnipeg. Short quotes that echo their anguish. I'm thinking about having an abortion. I was just wondering, how painful is it? How much does an abortion cost? I don't know if I'm pregnant that I'm yet, but I'm really praying that I'm not. I think I'm pregnant and I need to get an abortion. My friend suggested starving it or hitting myself in the stomach. I just can't do that. I'm only 15 and there's no other way for me to get around this. I just found out yesterday that my doctor says I'm pregnant. I've always been against abortion, but I just really don't know what to do right now. Having an abortion is probably the best for me and my baby. I'm really scared. I'm 16. I'm too scared to go buy a pregnancy test. It will just feel too real. I'm a Christian, so yes, this is very hard. I feel as though your center would try to convince me to be pro-life, but that just isn't an option for me. I became pregnant and my boyfriend has left. He wanted me to get an abortion and I told him that I don't believe in it. And then, he just left. I have no choice, I have to get an abortion. I used to be one of those people who would carry pro-life signs around the abortion clinics. Now it's my daughter and I want to know how we can get her an abortion. We've been together for almost 8 years. Our wedding is planned, and I want to wear my dress. There is no way I can have this baby right now. I'm 15, so do I need permission? I can never tell my parents about this. How do I get this over with as quickly as possible? I just feel pain, and I'm really scared. What do I do? We have to get an abortion. I know that God will forgive us, but our church, they never will. These last few quotes are from clients who have had an abortion. I had an abortion 3 days ago. All I want is to have my baby back. I think I need healing from an abortion I had 41 years ago. Can you help me? I knew I was going to have the abortion. And I made a promise to myself that no one would see me cry. And I kept that promise. I know that everything started to fall apart right after the abortion. My life has not been the same since my abortion 10 years ago. I've been crying a lot lately, thinking about the baby. Do you think he felt any pain? I'm going to be so ashamed when I get to heaven. Jesus, I'm so sorry for disappointing you. And finally, 35 years ago, a client said to one of our counselors at our center, "You never forget the baby you never had." In closing, if someone you know, or if you yourself have had an abortion, please consider calling us. Everything we do at the center is entirely free and completely confidential. No judgments, just a lot of love and understanding. And now, may the Lord of Heaven, the Creator of all good things, fill your hearts with compassion and strength. He wants us to pray. And yes, He wants us to love true and truly meaningful ways. It is His intention that the sacred duty of His church is to stand in the gap. Lord Jesus, love us all. There's always, when I share those quotes, it's had some heaviness with me all the time. And somehow it always feels like I need to pause a bit more, or it feels a bit irreverent to kind of go into a bit of a question and answer period. So I just want to acknowledge that, but also acknowledge that I want to hear from you guys as well. So the last time I was at this church was 2 years ago at Halloween, and myself and my kids received a lot of chocolate. It was crazy. They wanted to come to Rosenorf to go trick-or-treating. Their grandparents still lived here at that time. So we came over and we were mesmerized and in awe and shock of the chocolate we received. So I want to return the favor. I brought some chocolate with me to get back. And it's pretty simple, actually. If you want to ask a question, you can. After the service is done, you can come up and grab a chocolate bar as a reward for being brave. Or, really, if you just wanted some chocolate and you don't want to ask a question, just come and high-five me at the end of the service and I'll gladly give you some chocolate. So, I've got a few minutes, and so I just want to throw it out there. If anybody has any questions about the ministry, about our church in downtown Winnipeg, anything you saw on the video, or maybe even a comment, feel free to ask it or shout it out right now. All right, there's one in every crowd. My address is 665 Langside Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. Thank you very much for that question. You will get a chocolate. But here on in, to get a chocolate or a question, it has to be about what I'm talking about. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I said downtown Winnipeg. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Okay, you get a pass. Anyone else? Yeah.
Do you accept volunteers? Like part-time or half-time, or how does that work? Like, is everyone employed there, or do you have volunteers that can come and go, like on a schedule?
Yeah, it's awesome, beautiful question. The question was, do we have volunteers? What does that look like? And, does everybody just work there, or do you have volunteers? So we have 10 missionary staff members like myself who are employed at minimum half-time. And we're called missionary staff members because we raise our own support. We have to go to friends, go to family, and say, hey, we're doing this, what do you think? Can you give us some money? So we have 10 missionary staff members, but we do have volunteers. We probably have about 15 volunteers that come from anywhere from one day a week to 2 days a week. And that involves doing a lot of data entry. We have some people from Rollsburg who, Willow Brand, for instance, comes in every week. She does data entry at our center. So there's that piece. We have some people who do maintenance of our buildings. We always need maintenance of the buildings. We have some people who come in and do clothing. So we get tons and tons of donations. Lots of clothing, baby items, breast pumps, anything to do with babies under 2 years of age. A lot of formula as well. And so that all needs to be sorted, categorized, and made sure that it's presentable. So we have volunteers that come in and do that. You're right. And then on a kind of less informal basis, we have a newsletter that we send out 4 times a year. So we actually have a newsletter stuffing morning. So if you don't want to commit too much, people sometimes just come once or twice a year to stuff newsletters for a few hours. And it's kind of a fun event, actually. We have a lot of food, we have a lot of jokes, that type of thing. So it's a beautiful question. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Questions? Comments?
It's a question about your home church network. You mentioned you're in that Langside corridor. Is your network kind of in that geographical area of Winnipeg, or are you kind of spread out through? Like, what groups are you guys ministering to with this home church?
That's a great question. So the question is about our home church downtown Winnipeg. What does that look like? Are you guys close together, far apart? What's that all about? So one of the beautiful things about our host church is that how many regular attendees do we have, Jen? 60, 70? 54, exactly. We have 54 regular attendees. Does that include kids as well?
Yeah.
That includes kids as well. So I would say that I would be very comfortable walking to everybody's house in our church. Now, I love to walk, but we're all within kind of that downtown core area. So we're all very close together, and our ministry is in that area. A lot of people own rental properties. There's a lot of emphasis on rental properties and renting them out at a very affordable, beautiful rate that people at low incomes can afford, and ministering to them as landlords. So that's a big piece of our ministry there, for sure. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, well, it was basically, is this kind of a network that's in that core area working with it? Because it is a relatively underserved religious
community. Yeah. No, that's a good question. No, we definitely serve our community, and all our members are essentially from the community, so we all have our hands in lots of different ministries and things like that. Thanks for the question. Anyone else want some chocolate?
I'd like to know why did you get into this kind of ministry?
Good question. So Tim asked me why I got into this ministry, which is a great question. I am professionally trained as a physiotherapist. I still work actually part-time as a physiotherapist at Health Sciences Center. So I live downtown, I can actually walk to both my jobs. I'm right in the middle of going to Health Sciences Center, and then if I walk the other direction, I can get to the Family Support Center. So I was working as a physiotherapist, but the job is actually extremely rewarding. We help people. I see so many people from Rosemary at Health Sciences Center. When I do see somebody from Rosemary, I usually try to buy them a cup of coffee. So if you ever end up being at the Health Sciences Center, just ask for the physiotherapy department to get a free cup of coffee if you find me. So even though the job is very rewarding and I enjoy it, I wanted something more. I wanted to serve God in a more direct way. And so a friend of mine was actually volunteering with, or she was a staff member with the center, and she was volunteering, or I'm sorry, she was a staff member delivering healthy sexuality presentations. And she said, Dallas, you love to speak in front of people, and she was right, I do. Why don't you come with me and just talk to kids about sexuality issues? And most people, she said, would say, no. But for some reason, I felt the spirit leap within me, and I said, yes, this is what God wants. So I volunteered for a few months, and I liked it so much, I just said, hey, I want to be part of this ministry. So I started off working part-time as a physiotherapist, part-time at this ministry, and I continued to work in downtown Winnipeg. So, that's my story. Anybody else? I know we're getting close to ending time here, so maybe just a few more questions.
How long
is there a list? Is there a list posted online of like items that you guys are in need of at different times?
That's a good question. I'm not question, Brandy. I'll look into that for you and I'll try to get back to you. I don't think, not on our website, certainly. We have a Facebook page. There might be colleagues on the Facebook page. But what we do need almost consistent all the time is baby formula. It is an expensive item for many of our low-income clients. And so we have a lot of churches, we have a lot of individuals who will either give us money directly to buy formula, or when they're out to Costco or if they'll buy some formula and drop off at our center, that type of thing. So formula is definitely our biggest need, but we will take any items. If any of you are like, yeah, well, probably might not be having kids anymore, so everything that we have from 2 years old and under, if you ever want to donate it to our center, we'd love to take it, we'd love to reuse it, we'd love to re-gift it, love to give it to people who truly, truly do need that sort of thing. Does that answer your question, Dan? Silence till it gets a little bit uncomfortable and leave it a little bit longer just in case. Thank you so much for having me. It was good to come home and see so many smiling faces. I'll leave the chocolate box up on this front table here, so come and give me a high five, or if you've asked a question already, just come and take as much as you want.
Jen, do you want to come up here? Kevin and Becky, we want to pray for you. This is an incredible ministry, and if there's a way that you want to get involved, talk to them, and you need to talk to Crystal afterwards. You need to talk. So let's stand to pray, and then I'll ask the worship team, you want to come with us on our team? Okay, and then we'll get us off. So, yeah, I can imagine, and one of the things you can imagine beyond the church, but doing the kind of ministry that they do, because I have an appreciation of how heavy that can be. And so we want to pray for what do they need? It needs courage. They need wisdom, they need strength, and they need protection. Okay, this abortion thing in Canada and the U.S. is crazy. And I say, as a pastor, I apologize, we have not talked about these kind of issues enough. So thank you for bringing that to us. And so it's good. So let's pray for both of you and for us as a church. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we lift our hearts and our hands to you in worship that you are sovereign. You are working in this nation. But God, we're so sorry of what's happened in this personal, deep issue of abortion. And forgive us, God, for not stepping in where we should have, where we could have. And with that, Jesus, you would help us as the Rosner Community Church and as people of this church, this body. What are you calling us to do? Is there something that you would want us to do? It's no accident that Dallas and Jen are here with us this morning. And so we ask that you would lead us as a church, what can we do? And then, Jesus, we pray for Dallas and Jen. We pray for strength. We pray for courage. We pray for wisdom. We can't imagine all the conversations that they and he would be having, and for that whole staff of the Bendon Resource Center. God, give them incredible wisdom. Help them to be wise, so wise in all the responses, in all the conversations, in all the emails. And bless that ministry, God, we pray. And then, Jesus, we pray for this nation. We pray for Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada, that you will do what you need to do in this pro-life issue. Pro-life. We live for life, Jesus. And so thank you. Thank you for this morning.
Thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for speaking to us. And we worship you, and we love you. We want to serve you. We want to be friends with you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen.